Thank you for coming, Dave. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Mark chapter 2. I was going to speak about Thanksgiving again today, and I decided to just do a condensed version for Wednesday night for Thanksgiving. And so today I'm going a little different direction. Mark chapter 2. As we look at a true friend, a true friend. You and I know that friends are people with whom we dare, or you dare, to be yourself. They ask you to put on nothing, only what you are. They don't want you to put on a facade, or they don't want you. They don't ask anything necessarily of you except to be their friend. They don't want you to be better. They don't want you to be worse. They're your friend. When you are with them, you feel as a prisoner feels when he's been declared innocent. There's just some type of feeling that you feel when you're around a true friend. You don't have to be on guard. You can say what you think as long as it's genuinely you, and they, as your friend, will share what they think as well. They understand those things about you that leads you to the kind of person you are. They don't judge you. They don't misjudge you. You can breathe, essentially, you can breathe freely with a true friend because they understand you. You don't have to be careful like you do around other people. You can abuse them if you wanted to, perhaps, and neglect them. But they tolerate you because they're your friend. And best of all, you can keep still with them because they like you. And so that's perhaps why it's hard to find people that are our true friends, because, we're all unlikable at times. But a true friend understands. You can weep with them. You can sing with them, you can laugh with them, and you can pray with them. I love what Proverbs chapter 17:17 says. It says, a friend loveth at all. Not sometimes, but all times. Jesus tells his disciples in the scriptures, if they follow his commandments, they are his friend. He's telling us the same thing. If we follow his commandments, if we want to be friends of the Lord Jesus, then we are to obey him. We're to follow his commandments. And one thing never changes is the need for you and I, obviously, to have a friend in Jesus, but also just because of our emotions, because we're made in the image of God and God understands the need for you and I to have friendships on this earth. Kids that change schools and that have no friends at school, it's very difficult for them. Some of you may have moved when you were younger. You may have moved from school to school, and it was difficult because you didn't have friends at that new school like you did at the previous school. And the same way with people, with adults. If adults don't have friends at work, and you and I know sometimes it's hard to develop friendships at work, but ultimately, if adults don't have friendships at work, eventually they'll probably want to move on, because it'll be difficult without someone that you have a kindred spirit with at work. People that visit a church that can't find anyone to befriend them, they'll never come back. I thank you for the friendship of this church. When someone comes, you welcome them with open arms, and that is one of the beauties of this church. I think it's one of the gifts of this church to be able to befriend people. We all need friends. So here's a question as we begin today. How would you evaluate yourself as a friend? How would you evaluate yourself? Let's look at the text. Mark chapter 2. If you're able to, I'm going to ask you to stand as we read a few verses. Mark chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. It says, "And again, Jesus entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately many gathered together, so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Son, your sins are forgiven you.'" And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your heart? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Arise, take up your bed, and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." He said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." Immediately he arose, took up his bed, and went out into the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." Father, bless your word. In Christ's holy name, amen. Please be seated. This morning, I want to focus on three kinds of friends as we look at this text. A helpless friend, a helping friend, and a healing friend. Three kinds of friends. So let's look at them. Mark chapter 2. Three kinds of friends. First of all, a helpless friend. This man is sick. He's a paralytic. He has palsy. He is completely unable to do things and care for himself. He's paralyzed. He's unable to. He's totally dependent on other people. Never forget, dear friend, that there will always, as long as you and I are alive, there will always be people that God puts in our life that will be totally dependent upon you. It may be a child or it may be an adult. But as long as you and I are breathing, there are people around us that are helpless and they need a friend. Amen? They're helpless. God puts him in our life to say, "Help someone, help others. Jesus helped us." And so God puts those people in our life, those helpless people, so that we will get off our throne and we'll see that we need to help other people. There will always be those people. There will always be choices God puts in front of you concerning such people. This man may have been helpless, but he was a friend of four others. He had four friends. You know, if it doesn't break your heart to see a person in need, then I would say your wood's not wet. Amen? Something's wrong. When you see a person in need, we know people take advantage of us all the time. We know people are out there robbing and taking stuff that they shouldn't. But if your little light is not shining when you see somebody that's in need, when you see a helpless person, you've lost your compassion. If one of your children, when they see a person in need and they just sort of shun them or play like you created your own mess, we don't know how they got there. We don't know what happened to cause all of these circumstances for them to be where they are. But if you have a child or you have a neighbor or you have a loved one that doesn't care for people who are helpless, they've lost their compassion. Some friends can't help you, but they need your help. You can help them, and you can be their friend, the helpless kind of friend. I would encourage you, dear brothers and sisters, look for those people, because God works through helpless friends. Look for them. Befriend them. And they need you. Let me give you the second type of friend we see in this story. We see a helping friend. Remember, there's four of them. There's four guys that are helping this one paralytic. Four friends willing to help. For most people, as I shared with the young, with the children, it's hard to have four real, true friends. It's very difficult. But this guy, this paralytic, had four friends. One or two, maybe, for you and I. Maybe a few more. But this gentleman had four. And I want you to notice a couple of things about true friendship. We see the motive here in this story. There seems to be no selfishness. No selfishness. They don't seem to have any kind of motive to help this helpless friend. They don't seem to be trying to do it for themselves, to build themselves up, to say, look what we've done. There seems to be no selfish ambition. They were opposite of the Pharisees. The Pharisees always did everything so people would see them, so people would recognize them, but not these helping friends. That's what a helping friend does. A helping friend doesn't make it known everything they're doing. And many of you, if not all of you, that are helping friends, you don't care if you're acknowledged. You just want to help someone, just like these four. You provide a great example of a helping friend. Their motive was compassion, and your motive is compassion. Their motive was concern. Not only do we see their motive, but we see their method. We know, you've heard the little phrase, there's no I in team. And so this required full cooperation here in the text. There seems to be no jealousy. I want to hold the front end. I want to hold the front corner or whatever by his head. There seems to be nothing of that sort going on. Each man had a corner, you could say, to bear. Each man had a corner to bear. Wouldn't friendships be so much better if we looked at them as having a corner to bear? That I need to help this guy. I need to help this helpless person. Or I just need to help someone. I need to hold the corner. If for no other reason, I need to hold this corner. And if this guy is not available to help this other friend, I need to hold both corners. I need to do what I have to do to truly be a helping friend. You and I know we can't change. We can't fix other people's problems. That's not what a friend does. We don't fix their problems. We just help them go through it. We're walking with them along with their problems. We just carry a corner for them. And again, if they need you to carry two corners, we just go the extra mile and we carry two. That's what a helping friend does. In 1972, Kathy Rigsby, some of you remember her, she was a gymnast, Olympic gymnast. After she was defeated, her mother gave her 10 words, said 10 words to her. And she said she'd never forget those words. Those words changed her, how she felt about competition from then on. And here's what her mother said. She said, doing your best is more important than being the best. Wouldn't that be good if we, our coaches, told athletes that doing your best is more important than being the best? Because we all can't be the best, but we all can do our best. Sometimes we tell them to be the best, and they can't be the best, and so they're discouraged, they're frustrated, they're depressed, they want to quit the team. Maybe if we just told them to do their best and let God handle the details, let God handle the rest. Some people make enemies instead of friends because it's less trouble, perhaps. I don't know. I read a poem recently. It said, I went out to find a friend, but could not find one. I went out to be a friend, and friends were everywhere. Isn't that beautiful? I went out to be a friend, and friends were everywhere. But I couldn't find one when I went out to look for one. A helping friend, please continue, dear friend, to help those as you do become a helping friend. Let me give you the last type of friend, a healing friend. And we see it in the story. It's the main character. It's the main character in the book of Mark, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, from front to back, cover to cover, the main character of all the scriptures you and I know is the Lord Jesus. Amen? And so he's a friend to all. And he's the greatest friend of all throughout all eternity. You've seen it before. You've heard it before about the Lord Jesus. There's no other friend like him. And so let me just encourage you. I know we just made it through Thanksgiving, and as Brother Lance prayed, I just pray, dear friend, and I'm going to encourage you Wednesday night, and I'll just give you a little synopsis just so you'll be ready. Wednesday night, I'm going to encourage all of you to give 1 minute, 1 minute praise, 1 minute, just 1 minute of praising God in your life for the rest of the week. Just do it for 1 minute without stopping. And again, you'll see that in the message Wednesday night. 1 minute praise. Dear friend, we have so much to be thankful for because of the character in this story and the character in all of the Bible, because of our healing friend. There's no one like him, nor will there ever be. So continue to be that helping friend. Continue to look for those helpless friends out there because they're all around. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I just am so grateful for the friendship, all the friendships, Lord, that this church offers to this community. It offers to each other, the kindred spirit here, to former pastors and leaders and others, Lord. Thank you so much for building a tremendous example of friendship here. Father, I pray that we will always look for those who are hurting, always look for those who need our friendship, that are help. Lord, it does take work. It is difficult. We've got busy lives, and then you put people in our lives that make it more busier, and Lord, you put them there for a reason, though. Not that we would complain and murmur, but you put them there to humble us, to teach us, to test us, Lord. Father, may we be obedient to you and trust you, Lord, because as your word says, if we keep your commandments, we're your friend. Lord, may we yearn, may our heart burn with passion to keep your holy and righteous commandments. Father, if there's one today that says, I can't say that Jesus is my best friend, I can't say that I've ever relied on Jesus, I've never trusted him to save me from my sins. And if I died today, I will go to hell. I would not make it to heaven. Father, if there's one today that under the sound of my voice that is being convicted that they're not going to make it to heaven if they died today, may they, right where they sit, may they cry out to you to save them, Lord, and trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. Father, we love you and we just thank you for your salvation that you've given us on the cross. And thank you for forgiveness and thank you for all the many mercy and blessings you've given us as well. In Christ's holy and righteous name, amen.